The church this morning, we saw the powerful and joyful portrayal of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem to live the heaviest of the 7 days of his life under the sun. This morning, we read one of the passages where that portrayal is written up for us so that we might see and hear. And we're going to read from John chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. These are the words that are written there. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and they went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey, sat on it as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples didn't understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now, the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread that word. Many people, because they'd heard that he performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." And that's the word of the Lord.
Find that crowd of people who waved palm branches on that first Palm Sunday morning to be an interesting group. I wondered this week, what were they thinking? What was on their minds? What kind of emotions were going through them as they processed together behind Jesus, or actually in front of Jesus, because they were throwing these things before him, on that Palm Sunday entering Jerusalem? I think it was a day of an adrenaline, of great excitement, because this wasn't just a parade. This was a highly political, highly revolutionary, very dangerous activity for these people to be doing. Now, to understand that, I'd like to back up a little bit and remind you of some of the history, some of the backstory of these events. You remember, ever having been told, the Jewish people had been defeated by the people of Babylon. The armies of Babylon came, took over the country, and uprooted the people and sent them to Babylon in exile. During the time that they were in Babylon, the Babylonians themselves were defeated and the Persians took over. So partway through their 70 years of exile, their rulers changed from being the Babylonians to the Persians. And the Persians allowed the Jewish exiles to return home. So 70 years after they left, they came back. But they were not free. They were still under the dominion, under the thumb of the Persians, even as they were back in their homeland, in their own country. The Jews always longed to be free. And the prophet Zechariah told them that it was God's intention for them to be set free. He would do it. he said, by defeating the enemies of Israel. In Zechariah 9, verse 8, God says this, I will defend my house against marauding forces. Never again will an oppressor overrun my people, for now I am keeping watch. Never again will a marauder overrun my people. And that was a strong promise. They hung on to that. The very next verse, so the verse 8 says, I'm going to free you and I'm never going to let this happen again. The next verse says this, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So Zechariah says, God makes a promise, he's going to set you free, never let you be ruled by others, and you will see it by your king riding on a donkey. That is the sign of God's promises coming true. That was a powerful image that the Jewish people hung on to. They knew this prophecy. Well, now, fast forward to Jesus' day, the Jewish people were still under the thumb of a dominating, oppressive regime. Instead of the Babylonians or the Persians, now it was the Romans. And most of the Jewish people despised the Romans because it was they who held them down, who didn't let them flower as a people, didn't let them have authority and dominion in their own land. And people feared these Romans because they were ruthless on squashing dissent. There's a story in history about the Romans doing something really, really awful against the Jewish people. Their senior military officers went into the temple and walked right into the very holy of holies, that most sacred space that even the high priest was only allowed to enter once a year and very, very carefully and with great humility. Well, these army guys, they just barged in and acted like they owned the place. They desecrated the inner sanctum of the temple of God. And the Jews were upset. Of course they were upset. And they gathered in front of the palace of the governor and were shouting, saying, what have you done? You can't do this to us. You can't do this to our God. How dare you? Well, the Romans, they had a whole bunch of their soldiers wear civilian clothing, blend in. And they were in among the crowd. And at a signal, these soldiers took out their swords and started slashing and killing everyone around them. So you want to protest against Rome? You want to stand against our power and authority? This is what will happen to you. And many, many, many died. That was what Rome was to the Jews. And they despised them, these Jews did, of the Romans. So now, here's Jesus. And Jesus, what is he doing? He's riding into Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey. And everybody is thinking, holy cow, Zechariah 9 is coming true right in front of us. Our king is coming into Jerusalem. And the promise of verse 8 will be fulfilled because we see verse 9 coming to life. And so people took branches and they threw their coats before their king because finally these Romans, these despicable Romans, are going to be overthrown. They're going to, well, shouldn't say this in church. So something's going to get kicked. You can imagine what part of the body they were going to get kicked. And people were so filled with joy. Rome was done. Break out that dusty old crown. Take that throne out of storage. Shine the scepter, because our king is riding into Jerusalem. And they were right. The people were right. It was the king. And he was riding into Jerusalem, and he was the fulfillment of that prophecy, and it was true that the people were going to be set free. Not exactly in the way they thought they were going to be set free. The people had this small vision of a nation, of a people group, of an ethnicity. And Jesus was coming to set free not just the Jews, he was coming to set free the world. And he was coming to set them free not from something as inconsequential as the Roman Empire, which in a couple of hundred years, 300, maybe 400 years, would be a thing of the past anyway. He was coming to set them free from the burden, from the terror of sin and its consequences. He was coming to bring them salvation that would be eternal. Now, because Jesus didn't match these expectations of the crowd, they were nowhere to be found on Friday when Jesus was whipped and humiliated and killed. That's not what a king is supposed to do. But still, the message that is in that prophecy of Zechariah, where it says, "Do not be afraid," is a message for us. Don't be afraid, the word says, of those things that seem so powerful, so threatening, so overwhelming. Don't be afraid of the Babylonians or the Persians or the Romans, all of whom have indeed receded into the mists of history, and many don't even have them in mind at all. At different points in my life, I've had things that have scared me, things that have intimidated me, and I've felt very threatened by. And a lot of those things that I've been afraid of in the past have faded as time has gone on, and I'm grateful to the Lord for that. And sometimes right now, there are things that are on my mind, that worry me. There are things that make me lose sleep at night. And I think I'm not the only one. I bet you all of us can say there are things that are worrisome, that we feel threatening to our happiness, or to the happiness of our family and friends or our nation. Because we live in a dangerous world. And we live in often dangerous times. Economic, political, social. There are many threats against us. Interpersonally, professionally, academically. You know that of which you are afraid. And you can name it. But in all of these things, there's one thing that doesn't fade away. There's one person who doesn't disappoint, and that is our King. The one who was promised long ago, who came and remains with us. The one who was faithful and indeed has redeemed us. The one who sat on a young donkey and received the palm-waving praises of the people in Jerusalem. He is ever faithful and he is ever reliable. He casts out our fears. What you are afraid of, you lay that before Jesus, he'll help you. He'll help you overcome and live and have hope in these days of our lives. He will never be overthrown and will never disappoint. As we move on toward Good Friday, and then on to Easter, let us be part of that movement that the Pharisees saw and which they commented on. Look how the whole world has gone after him. Let us too go after him and have hope. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that Jesus was faithful to all the promises. Thank you that he is the fulfillment. Thank you that we have perfect love in him indeed that casts out fear. Because in this dangerous world, you are ever faithful. And we look to you for hope, confidence, indeed for the salvation of our lives. Amen.